Welcome to Ask the Professor with Professor Stephen Rocklitz. I'm Georgia Peck from Canary Kitchen. Today we are going to be talking about the immune system, which I think is a timely topic considering the current crisis, and yet most people don't actually know about the common factor weakening many people's immune systems and causing so many of the chronic health conditions we see today. Before we begin, I want to share a little bit about my own health. I was struggling with chronic pain and undiagnosed symptoms for over a decade. Over the years, I visited so many doctors, naturopaths, and alternative healers, but none of them helped me, and some actually made me a lot worse. I never got a clear diagnosis, but I just kept searching for answers. After my high-risk pregnancy, I ended up with even more strange symptoms, and I pretty much lost hope of ever finding the root cause behind my problems. A month ago, I found Professor Stephen Rocklitz, and after reading his books and consulting with him, I now finally understand what has been going on with my body all these years. I have found real lasting pain relief, and most of my symptoms have now disappeared. I want to share what I have learned with the chronic illness community, and so I am here with Professor Rocklitz to answer your questions and provide information into the true nature of most chronic conditions and mystery symptoms. So let's get started with our first episode and our first question. Professor Steve, what is the major hidden factor weakening the immune system?
Thank you, Georgia. A major factor weakening people's immune system that they are not aware of is porphyria. And this is actually not a rare or ultra-rare disorder. It is actually a very common disorder. And the body's inability to properly make heme, all right? Officially, it's the biggest lie in all of medicine that this is rare or ultra-rare. What's called the Downey-Rocklitz hypothesis is that 20% of humanity actually has this problem, all right? And porphyria is the body's inability to properly synthesize heme. Everyone's heard of heme as in hemoglobin, but some 40% of the body's heme goes into making cytochrome P450 enzymes that process so much of what gets into our body. But let me just go back. The porphyria involves two major things. There's going to be a chronic or episodic deficiency of heme and heme-containing proteins. And what this episode will be about is that heme has been recently found to regulate the immune system. So again, people that have the usually hidden porphyria, all right, will have a chronic or episodic deficiency of heme. And again, their immune system will not be functioning properly. All right. So the other thing that porphyria involves, besides deficiency of heme and heme-containing proteins, is an excess of porphyrins. That's where the name porphyria comes from. Actually first found by Hippocrates, the father of modern medicine, 2,500 years ago, all right? It's actually been published since the 1950s that porphyria is not a rare disorder, yet medicine is chosen to claim by altering the threshold for diagnosis that you have to be 10 times out of the normal range. So porphyria is falsely claimed to be rare or ultra-rare. Porphyria is induced by many people. While they have a genetic predisposition, it's brought to the fore by any toxic exposure, which can be drugs, hormones, pesticide, formaldehyde, heavy metals, mercury being among the worst. And, of course, mercury is in most people's teeth. Used to be in newborns' vaccines, and there's the autism link. Mold is another thing. Any type of toxic exposure, if the person then becomes chronically sick and or allergic for the rest of their life. Another example is many women, clients have told me that they take a birth control pill for a week. And they're, for the rest of their life, they're sick and or allergic. If I haven't said before, I've been doing alternative holistic health for 40 years, but I was originally a physicist and a physics professor. And I use that same background in science and logic and even physics to help me to understand what's really going on, as opposed to the way both orthodox and holistic medicine work by just trying to match your symptoms with either a drug or a supplement, and not having a way of knowing that you might be reacting to the supplement, not realizing that that may not be getting at the cause of the problem. Just to match symptoms with drugs or supplements is not a science of health. You have to try to get to the earliest possible cause. And it turns out that for so many chronic problems, this hidden porphyria is actually the cause. It's linked to causing everything from autism to hypoglycemia to allergies. If a person has many food sensitivities, the allergist often doesn't find it because they're just looking for antigen, antibody antigen reaction. And that's not the nature. It's not an immunological reaction that people are having to foods. People also react to many environmental chemicals. A person may not even be aware that that's the case, but they may say, you know, fragrance smells strong to me. So food sensitivity, environmental chemical sensitivity are hallmarks of porphyria. And again, because besides heme, which again, actually I'll get into in a little bit, regulates the immune system, all right? Heme goes into making these cytochrome P450 enzymes, and these are in all the cells in the body, but perhaps the greatest number are in the liver. These enzymes interface with the outside world, you could say, that they process things that get into the body, compounds in foods, environmental chemicals, drugs, even supplements, and even some of our own hormones are all processed by these master enzymes, the cytochrome P450 enzyme, and they are a heme-containing protein, which again, 40% of the heme in the body doesn't go into making hemoglobin, which again, most people know carries our oxygen on the red blood cells, but 40% of the heme goes into making these cytochrome P450 enzymes that interface with the external world and also process some of our own hormones, all right? And the people with the porphyria, whether officially diagnosed or not, if they actually have porphyria, can be extremely deficient in the cytochrome P450 enzymes. That's why they then react severely to drugs, to environmental chemicals, to lots of foods. Our own hormones, such as adrenal hormones, can end up being adversely affected and end up with adrenal failure. I've recently said that President Kennedy, that it finally explained his lifelong severe pain and immune system, gastrointestinal system, had so many, was given last rites from the time he was a child about half a dozen times in his life. I went to the best clinics that you can name, the top clinics. I won't do that right now. I went to them and never found the cause of his severe chronic pain and immune system, gastrointestinal, and other dysfunction until I finally, you know, declared it without doubt that he had porphyria, and not just him and his family, okay? The Downey-Rockless hypothesis says that 20% of mankind or womankind has porphyria, but again, I have in the last 5 years or so declared that certain ethnic strains are maybe as high as 40%, with the highest that I have found being people of Scandinavian, Irish, or Jewish descent, and right after that, Scottish, French, English, Dutch, Belgian, and South Africans, up to as much as 40% have the porphyria genetic predisposition, and then all you need is a toxic exposure, which can be drugs, you know, in your own history. I don't know if you wanted to get into it. Birth control pill, was that for skin problems? What was the nature of that?
Yeah, so I was prescribed birth control pills when I was 14 years old, and it was pitched to me and my mom as a way to regulate my period. I had just started my period. It wasn't necessarily irregular or anything, but it was just sort of this preventative measure. It also, you know, they told me it would improve my skin. At that time, I had some mild teenage acne, nothing that big, but that's how it was pitched to me. I wasn't told of any potential side effects. I was told it was just a safe way to regulate my period.
Well, that was probably the starting point because, again, I've had numerous women clients and readers telling me that just 1 week taking the birth control pill and they became chronically sick and or allergic for the rest of their lives. But that, again, is someone who has the predisposition for acquiring the porphyria. All right. And in your own case, you then took other concoctions. I don't know if you want to briefly summarize that you were all told that they were going to help you and ended up doing the opposite.
Yeah. So I ended up seeing a chiropractor after visiting a couple Western medicine doctors. And one kind of wrote me off just saying, you know, we all have pain and it's no big deal. And another one tried to prescribe me antidepressants, which I wasn't interested in. So I ended up seeing a chiropractor who prescribed me some different supplements that ended up causing severe cystic acne all over my cheeks. Excuse me. Just horrible, horrible breakouts. And it just made me a lot worse.
Well, again, that's a typical of someone, a life story of many people, that they first do orthodox medicine and doesn't help them, or they adversely react to drugs or hormones. And then they get into alternative practitioners and start taking all kinds of things and without being helped and often being made worse. That's one of the hallmarks. Some of the hallmarks of porphyria include that the supplements, a person will say, you know, supplements don't seem to help me. I try every new supplement. They either don't help me or I think I'm adversely reacting to them. With porphyria, there's often a poor tolerance for caffeine and or alcohol. I like to summarize it by saying a little acts like a lot.
Yes, and I always noticed that with myself. I couldn't drink coffee. Alcohol was really reactionary for me. And
a little caffeine can make the person nervous. A little alcohol can make the person woozy, as if they were drinking a lot. Because, again, it relates to a deficiency of the cytochrome P450 enzyme, which are heme-containing proteins. So it actually acts like it's a lot because you don't have enough of these enzymes to process it, all right? And again, other hallmarks of porphyria include a very poor tolerance for stress because our own hormones, adrenal hormones, are, again, that's my own interpretation of what's happening. Our own adrenal hormones are, again, need to be processed by these cytochrome P450 enzymes, which are going to be very deficient in the porphyric. So they end up like their own hormones act like coffee or what, and so lead to adrenal fatigue. And people with porphyria, I've said the number one symptom that orthodox medicine is incorrect, that it's not abdominal pain, which a lot of people have only as a child. But the number one symptom of porphyria is actually anxiety. All right? And porphyria, in my opinion, is actually the leading cause of most mental illness. All right? Not just anxiety, depression. A big one people are getting diagnosed with is bipolar, and that fits porphyria to a T. Whether or not they're having a porphyric reaction to something. And again, the porphyric actually reacts severely to stress. There's great stress intolerance, all right? But bipolar fits porphyria to a T because they hit the two different phases. You know, one is when they're having a porphyria attack and one when they're not, or the downside from that. But even the more serious, bipolar, again, can be serious. And of course, the sad thing with mental illness is you're getting prescribed all kinds of drugs, which almost all psychiatric drugs induce porphyria.
Right.
But the more serious medical paranoia, schizophrenia, these things are also linked to porphyria. So it's the leading cause of almost all mental illness, in my opinion, and others. So there's stress, great stress intolerance, tolerance for caffeine or alcohol, often drug intolerance, drug reactions, even reaction to many supplements. And that might be a good point to get into the current topic, all right? And specifically regarding porphyria, is that in the last decade, again, remember, porphyria involves two major initial effects of deficiency, chronic or episodic, of heme and heme-containing proteins, and also an excess of porphyrins compounds. That's the name. Porphyria stands for purple because I guess Hippocrates, way back 2,500 years ago, gave it the name because he saw off-colored urine in some people that were sick, all right? So sometimes, and people sometimes, when they learn a little bit about porphyria, you can test to see if you might have it by putting your urine out in the sun for a while. And if it turns darker or off-colored, is almost conclusive that you do have the porphyria. However, you can get false negatives for many reasons. Because one, unless someone is in a severe state of porphyria, it's usually not enough of these excess porphyrin compounds to turn your urine darker or other colors, which I'll get to in a second. All right. It's usually people are having a severe reaction to a drug or herb that they're going to have enough excess porphyrins to change the color of the urine when it's hit by sunlight. And so most people are not in that severe state. They have more mild. Most people with porphyria, it's a mild thing. Again, they may have mild anxiety, mild gastrointestinal dysfunction, mild diarrhea, constipation, other mental problems, fatigue, depression, and not in a severe state where it causes the urine to turn off color, which can be black, pink, purple, blue. That's rare. That even diagnosed porphyrics don't usually have that showing their urine or reacting to the sun. It usually, again, means they're in a severe state. Another reason that it doesn't often show in the urine is that porphyria is seven different diseases, and the body's making from porphyrin compounds, and porphyrin is almost like chlorophyll, except for having an iron instead of magnesium. Porphyrin compounds are made by the body into heme, and it requires seven steps, seven enzymes, and so it's seven different diseases depending on which enzyme is 50% deficient. All right, so it's seven different diseases, and some of them actually affect the skin. So if anyone listening knows somebody or themselves, all right, because several of the porphyria is seven different diseases, right? The one that the people of Irish, Scandinavian, or Jewish genetic background, it's called acute intermittent porphyria, but there's some six or seven others, and in some of them, it's the skin that reacts. People have unexplained blistering from sun exposure, and the doctors, again, never consider porphyria. Just like all the people that end up in the emergency room with abdominal pain, and they might check their gallbladder and their appendix, and if that's not it, they can't find the cause. Because, again, they memorize in medical school, all MDs learn about porphyria, but they learn in the last 30, 40 years, the biggest lie in all of medicine, that you'll never see one in your practice, all right? They memorize that it's like one out of 100,000, and the Downey-Rockless hypothesis, one out of five human beings has either the problem itself or the genetic predisposition to acquire it from some toxic exposure. And we're hit with toxic exposures literally from the time we're born, with mercury, you know, vaccinations, in your fillings, you know, so we're hit with toxic exposure very early in life. And the starting point for you apparently was a birth control pill, which is very common and known. Again, as I said, some women are never the same. Take it for a week, that it definitely makes a permanent worsening of the underlying genetic porphyria. Okay. So porphyria involves the deficiency of heme or heme-containing proteins. And heme itself, just in the last decade, was found to regulate the immune system. In particular, B cells. A B cell is made in the bone marrow, and the B cell produces antibodies, which are also called immunoglobulins, and they will involve with allergic reactions, but also involve with killing germs. All right, but they're manufactured by the B cell, and heme has been found to regulate the B cells just in the last decade. So it's a hidden factor. Many alternative practitioners will say, well, just come in, we'll boost your immune system and give people a ton of supplements, which may or may not help. All right. If the person has porphyria, the person can just end up reacting. And one perfect example is, a vitamin that can be wonderful, like vitamin C. All right. And that's been, many people say they get less cold if they take vitamin C. So for a healthy person, taking 500 milligram or 1,000 milligram every day, and they can get by and not have problems, and it could help them. If you're a porphyric, though, some 20% again of humanity, it can have the opposite. It can cause pain syndromes. It can cause kidney stone. Anyone who has a problem with oxalates, and oxalate is found in many, many foods, also usually has a problem with the vitamin C. So it's not so simple that you can just take supplements. Another one that I see them touting for fighting the virus and respiratory problems is vitamin D. And again, most people with porphyria actually end up being deficient of vitamin D, but they cannot take a large dose because it induces these cytochrome P450 enzymes. Inducing means, well, again, what is the purpose of cytochrome P450 enzyme is, for example, to keep us alive. If you eat a toxic mushroom, and it can kill you maybe in a short while, when the chemicals in there that are toxic enters the blood and it hits the cytochrome P450 enzyme, it induces them, which means it causes them to rapidly replicate. So there's many more of these enzymes that will then be able to process the toxin in mushrooms to keep us alive. However, if the person has porphyria, it doesn't work out well. They're barely getting by because they're deficient genetically with one of the enzymes. So they don't make from porphyrin compounds into heme. And the heme again goes into making the cytochrome P450 enzyme. So when the body is hit by a toxin, whether again in a compound in food or environmental chemicals or a drug, it causes a porphyria attack because the body tries to make more heme to make more of that specific cytochrome P450 enzyme, but it doesn't work out properly, and the person ends up with excess porphyrin compounds and just gets sick. It gets sick from, again, coffee, alcohol, compounds in foods, having food reaction, environmental chemicals, hormones if they're taking, and then vitamins. Vitamin C can, again, cause kidney stone or actually even chronic pain. And the vitamin D can end up acting like a hormone did for some people that don't tolerate when they're given, women are given hormones. The vitamin D can do the same things that the hormone pill or injection did to them, cause the same kind of illness, because I believe it's hitting the same cytochrome P450 enzymes.
Yeah, so I was always told to take 1,000 IU supplements of vitamin D by my doctor, and I would take them for a little while, and then I would stop because I just had a sort of an aversion to them. And when I saw you, I remember you gave me a 400 IU vitamin D, and that had a major immediate impact on my pain levels, on everything. I kind of went into a healing crisis because I was finally... You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think my body finally got the proper dosage as opposed to just being overloaded.
Well, could very well be. Many people by their practitioner actually are prescribed far more than the 1,000 you were, 5,000, 10,000. And with a doctor's prescription, you can literally get a capsule of 100,000. Because someone's vitamin D is low, and actually porphyria is a major reason that people have low vitamin D levels. All right, but you can't fix what took months or years to get that low and try to fix it in a day or a week. If you have the underlying porphyria, I have found that the 400 units is about as much as if someone who has the porphyria, can tolerate. And again, for people, some people, there's many reasons why people remain chronically sick. And one reason is that I can see people react to this. They might say, I haven't been diagnosed with porphyria. And, there's two problems with that, all right? And again, they will then regurgitate what they've been diagnosed with, all right? For example, many people see the Lyme expert, and the Lyme expert will assert that they have Lyme disease on almost every patient they have. And we hopefully do another podcast. People will be shocked to know what the Lyme, and again, Lyme disease is real. Chronic Lyme disease is real. It's just tremendously overdiagnosed. So my point is, people might be listening to this and might think, well, I haven't been diagnosed before. I got this condition or I got that condition. Porphyria is actually a cause of so many chronic conditions, neurological, emotional, hormonal, immunological, which again is the topic today, that it weakens the immune system if you have the underlying porphyria, all right? And people make grave mistake to think that if they haven't gotten an official diagnosis. And again, there's a lot of corruption involved with that. That the porphyria is considered to be rare or ultra rare, when it is actually the progenitor, the cause of so many other problems: mast cell disease, adrenal failure, hypoglycemia, food allergy, quote allergy, pseudo allergy to foods, environmental chemicals. I could go on and on and on, including a lot of neurological disorders, immunological, including so-called autoimmune. So it's a grave mistake because you may not have an official diagnosis. Again, I tell people, just consider, again, if you have poor tolerance for caffeine or alcohol or stress and react to numerous foods or environmental chemicals, it's over 90% likely, according to studies that have been done, that you have porphyria. So it's a grave mistake to think, oh, I haven't been diagnosed with that. I got diagnosed with this other thing. And the other thing that you've been diagnosed may not even be correct. All right. So people shouldn't think, I haven't been diagnosed with that. I don't need to deal with that. Just think again, if you have poor tolerance for the caffeine, the alcohol, the stress, numerous foods, environmental chemicals, drugs, supplements, again, it's over 90% likely that the person has porphyria. So it's a great mistake to think if you haven't got an official diagnosis that it can't be, because what you have been diagnosed with may be incorrect. All right. There's many fallacies that people have when, you know, as far as remaining chronically ill, I like to say that it can succinctly summarize what's going on. If you are chronically ill and or allergic, it really means, because again, look at your history. Half your life you had just given up hope. Everything you tried just made you worse. Yeah. All right. And if you hadn't found me by accident, by searching, would never have known about porphyria, and you would not have the great health you have right now.
Yeah.
You had given up, which a lot of people do. So again, I succinctly put it this way, because there are many, I routinely help people to get well. All right. Because this is a factor that is almost never considered. And it is actually a common illness and common cause of a lot of chronic illness. So I succinctly put it, to get well, it often means you have to stop doing the wrong thing and start doing the right thing. And stop doing the wrong thing can be including such as the herbs or drugs that people are taking, such as, again, with the Lyme illness, taking potent antibiotics and or herbs for months, years, even decades. And that is actually the cause of their problem, inducing porphyria. All right. So again, to get well, people have to stop. They have to realize, of course, they have to stop doing the wrong thing and start doing the right thing. And so many people just proudly, they're chronically ill and just proclaim their doctor's name and the drugs or herbs that they're taking. And if you're not well, it's highly likely you're doing the wrong thing and not doing the right thing. All right. Let's get back to the current topic again. Heme in the last decade was found to regulate the immune system, in particular B cells, and the B cells actually make the antibodies. And so to fighting off a germ, if you are deficient in heme, your B cells are not working properly, and you can have a poorly functioning immune system. All right? So dealing with the porphyria, which again involves changing the diet, like my main book on porphyria, is called Porphyria, the Ultimate Cause of Common Chronic and or Environmental Illnesses.
Yeah.
All right. And again, there's a subtitle with Breakthroughs in Diet, Supplements, and Energy Balancing. All right. So Porphyria, the Ultimate Cause of Common Chronic or Environmental Illnesses. All right. That in my second book called Crucial Updates to Porphyria, you go over what to do as far as diet and supplements to take or not to take. Self-energy balancing, because it's a bit complicated. You have to change a diet with one thing to try to do food rotation. There's a set of foods that are the worst with porphyria, citrus, nightshades, but it's very individualistic. But certainly one thing to say is that eating the same thing every day is, if you have the hidden porphyria, it's definitely not wise. But again, and there's many, many things that can help with the porphyria, including self-energy balancing, your own history. Again, when you found me, the first consultation, I told you techniques to do that immediately for the first time in a long time, cut way down on your pain, right?
Yeah, it was incredible. I had really bad leg pain. I couldn't even really bend over to pick things up off the floor. And that was one of the first things you helped me with. My leg pain disappeared after doing what you told me.
So there's much that can be done with pain syndromes or chronic illness. And again, with the current topic again, it's a hidden porphyria or undiagnosed porphyria or diagnosed porphyria is a major factor in weakening many, many people's immune system. All right. And what's being touted now regarding the virus, again, mega doses of vitamin C, vitamin D, I see being pushed on the major news outlets. It may help. It may also induce porphyria. So it's fraught with danger. Okay. And again, it's not something people to run out but again, many holistic practitioners will just give people so many different supplements to claim that you got to boost your immune system. And it's not the thing to be doing because it could cause harm. You took too high a dose of vitamin D. That didn't help and did the opposite. So dealing with porphyria, which again, to think about, if you have poor tolerance, caffeine, alcohol, stress, history of reacting to numerous drugs, or if supplements have not helped you and you think even adversely reacting, foods, environmental chemicals like fragrance, smell strong. Again, if you have anxiety, bipolar, neurological complaints that haven't been helped. Porphyria is a common disorder, all right? And have been proven in the last 10 years to cause a weak immune system and the body's inability to fight off germs because of the effect of a deficiency of heme would have on the B cells. So it's something to strongly look into now more than ever. Okay. I would highly recommend, people listen more. I have a good YouTube out there. Just plug in my last name, Rochlitz, that's Rochlitz, and a British nutritionist, Walker, and you'll find that on YouTube. I hope we get this up on YouTube. My website, again, is Well At Last. That's WELLATLAST.com. And see where my books are there. And, my books have been called, the best of this century. And you'll finally find out the cause of your problems and what to do about it with safe methods, all right? Because these are very safe methods, the energy balancing techniques that you just mentioned a couple minutes ago took away your pain. There's techniques there that make your brain and heart work better, correct fatigue and brain fatigue, and can work immediately. Again, people can go to the website I just said, wellatlast.com, look at the testimonial page and the guest book page where people write in what either the books or consultation did. So people can, as you yourself said, so many people have given up hope even because they tried so many things and been sick so long. But this is a factor, porphyria, that they almost never considered by orthodox and holistic practitioners. Because both of them, if they know about it at all, and nurses don't know about it, I'm not sure if it's in the chiropractic curriculum, but MDs certainly know about it. But they memorize the totally fallacious statement that it's rare or ultra rare. So they never consider it. Because again, they memorize 1 out of 100,000, and the Downing-Rockless hypothesis says 1 out of 5 people have it. That's quite a difference, all right? But I certainly have improved many people's lives with my books and consultation by dealing with that and making the appropriate changes, diet, supplements, energy balancing. So people can get well, and that's, of course, why I have named my website 20 years ago, wellatlast.com. There's no breaks in that, just wellatlast.com. And I think you should probably give your wonderful website because it has – an incredible story of being ill, and then I was so happy when you very recently created the new category of your happy, healthy life.
Yeah, so if you want to read more about my story, it is canarykitchenseattle.com. And I have my full health story up there. There's some recipes up there, but mostly just details on what I've been through and how I finally found Professor Rocklitz and ended up truly getting well like I never expected I would. So thank you for this interview, Professor Steve. This has been great talking to you, and I think a lot of people will find this to be very informative and very helpful.
I thank you, Georgia, and I hope we'll be doing more of these and help people to finally get well.